Well, I feel like I need to introduce myself. We've got some visitors, which is great tonight. I'm Alex Farmer. I'm the what Anglicans call a rector, but basically I'm the pastor. And it's so good to have those who are visiting with us and all of you who actually had the nerve to show up again after last week. So bully to all of you for being here. So good to see you. Good to be with you again tonight. I feel a little bit like I need to start saying something about moms. I really appreciate my brother Rick. He knows that I'm, you have to understand, you know, for me, I want us to come to church to focus on the Lord Jesus, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. And so we don't want to ever take too much away from God by focusing on anyone. But if anybody could take a little bit of God's glory for just a little bit, it would be our moms, right? Amen. And so I do appreciate Rick and that. And we do want to honor those of you who are moms, present or future, and all of those ladies, because you are so dear to us. So we honor you. Tonight, let me begin by just relating to you in that same vein, that, you know, I think we all begin in some way, we emulate our parents, like it or not, John. There are some characteristics of your mom and dad that are bound to come out. And from very early on, I became really known, not to necessarily, I look like my dad, but thank God I act like my mom. And so, you know, people would say things like, you know, your mom never sits down, you know, and you begin to see that busyness, that activity. And my wife, when she sees me with my shoes off, my mom's name is Kay, and she says, oh, there's Grandma Kay's feet, you know, because I have the feet my mom has. So just, you know, ways, personality, physical traits, we emulate our parents in some way. That comes out naturally. And it's the same way for us who are children of God, who have been born into God through Jesus Christ. We resemble our Heavenly Father. At least that's what we're supposed to do. That is the fruit that John is referring to in our gospel today. I am the vine, you are the branches. Obviously talking of a metaphor, but he's making the point that everyone who is in Christ, and that's who he's talking to, believers, every one of us should bear fruit that shows whose we are. Now, this is not the sort of fruit like your resume, spiritually speaking. This is not, you know, how many people did you lead to Christ and how many homeless people did you feed and you know, how much money did you give, et cetera, et cetera. This is not the external fruits, as it would, the works of our faith. But this is the, if you will, the inner life that we transmit, that we communicate. How we interact with other people. Do we love them with the love of God? As John says, love is this, that Jesus laid himself down for us, that he gave himself sacrificially. Do we love with that self-giving love? Or is our love one of the world's love, the mutual love? If you love me, Ken, I'll love you back. If you do good for me, I'll do good for you. Make us both a lot of money. We'll talk later. No. But I mean, is it that sort of love, or is it the self-giving love of God? Probably no human relationship comes close to matching that than the love of a parent for a child. I mean, that is about as selfless a love as we can imagine in this world. And at least as far as I can see in the short run, you don't get much return from that, guaranteed. But the day I became a parent, I had a little bit of understanding of what this self-sacrificing love of God is about. Pouring yourself into somebody that can't respond, that won't remember, that may not love you back, that's going to grow up and ask for a car and a bank account for you to pay for their wedding to go marry some guy. But I digress. But it's that self-sacrificing love that is the very character of God. principally displayed on the cross. When Jesus died, not for just the sins of those who would receive His gift, but even for those who will never receive, who have hardened their hearts and have rejected His love. Do you realize that? God died for their sins too. That is the self-giving love of God. And John makes the point in John 15 that we who are in Christ should be transmitting channels of that love. That love should be flowing through us, not just into us, but through us. Our choice, John says, is to remain in that love. Abide, the old King James used. And the abiding in God or the remaining in Him is our decision to continue to be transformed by the love that first loved us. We receive it, though we could not earn it. Jesus dying in our place, offering us a new life that we do not deserve. But in response, allowing the love of God to begin to transform us, permeate us, change us from the inside out. Salvation is not simply something that God does to us, but something He does in us. It is an event, but it's also a process of growing in response and letting God transform us. That is what John's getting at. That's what he means by the fruit. That daily we begin to live lives that display that love, that attitude, that sacrifice, that willingness to extend ourselves. It is not easy, and it takes a very, very long time. But John says we are to be about remaining in Him, keeping the faucet open. If you think about it, I don't know, maybe this works for you or not. On a bathroom, you've got a hot and a cold water, right? And life in the flesh, life before Jesus, is the cold water on full blast. And even though you're cold water, nothing hot in you, the grace of God is that Jesus has opened up the hot valve. The process of becoming fruitful in Christ is to begin to let God turn off the cold. I don't know if that works for you or not. But John says that's our part of the process. We get a part to play. We decide whether we will remain in Him, whether we will remain open to allowing this life-giving Christ to transform us from the inside out. Now, let me tell you, I have had some pain as of late. I've had some opportunities where a person who I trusted and loved and made myself vulnerable to and poured into them, I felt sacrificially, really hurt me. And there was a little bit of time in there where I wasn't certain that I could love with the same abandonment that I had before. Just being honest with you. Because it hurt. And because I felt overly vulnerable. And there's that in us, in times, in the body of Christ, especially in the body of Christ, where we get hurt. And we shut the hot water valve off and we turn that cold on, don't we? John says that is not being fruitful. That is closing ourselves off to what God has begun in us, this process of transforming love. John tells us that if we are in Christ, and if we are going to remain in Christ, it's going to be our willingness to be vulnerable, to grow in that love, to grow in ways and to express ways of opening up, to allowing the flow, the love of Christ to come through us. And at times to make ourselves vulnerable. But you see, there's really not a choice in the life of a believer. Because it's not simply some fictitious sin and righteousness and right choice and wrong choice. It's really, in the words of John, life and death. Being open to the transforming love of God, being vulnerable, allowing yourself to become a channel, loving others sacrificially, that is life, John says. Being closed off, being concerned about protecting myself, being out for number one, that is death. And I'm not just talking about hell. I'm talking about spiritual death. It does not produce life in us to live like that. That's why Jesus says in Matthew's gospel that we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, it's worth nothing. We've been redeemed by the sacrificing love of God. That is what has bought us back. And so for us to live in that life is to model that love back and to continue to give and extend and to love, yes, even those who do not deserve us, because the alternative is death. You see, to turn back from being open to the sacrificing love of God is to go back to the world. And in the world, the only people that love you are the ones that think they can get something out of you. That's the love of the world. The love of God is the love that extends and gives and sacrifices even what may be rejected. That's why the most fulfilling job in the world is being a mom or a dad, isn't it? Because what they don't tell you when you're a self-centered 18-year-old, and that's what I was at 18, is that there is no greater joy than pouring your life into a child or another young person or into your spouse or into a friend. Am I wrong? There is nothing in the world greater than that. And that, friends, is the love of God, principally displayed on the cross, but that we're called to live out. There's a great book. I think I found it, Jody. There's a great book, she knows what that means, by C.S. Lewis called The Great Divorce. And I hope if you haven't read it, Mary, I know, has read it. It's an awesome book. C.S. Lewis, the writer of this book, helps sort of get our minds around this idea of life and death that John's really talking about. This image of the vine and the branches, it's about life and death, about what brings life and what brings death. And C.S. Lewis draws this fictional story about this bus ride between heaven and hell. And it's full of wonderful people, some who are heavenly bound, who were growing in life, and some who were hellishly bound. and are growing in death. And what's so incredible is the people who are on the way to hell have almost ceased to be human. And they're people who are clinging on and manipulative and are trying to they're concerned about what they're going to lose if they get on the bus and go towards heaven. And I think it's a great, helpful thing to see our lives, as John puts here in John 15, as choosing truly between life and death. And abiding in Christ is to be on that bus ride to heaven. It's to be moving more heavenly. It's to be realizing that the things of God and the way God loves is life-giving. And the way you and I have been conditioned as humans to live, it's death-producing. You really should read it. It's a good book. Not too long. The other thing that John mentions is the pain and the reality of being cast away. Now, I've done a little yard work in my life. I know you have to prune trees. That does bring it back. The pruning is simply weeding out the selfishness and the rebellion, this hellish characteristics, the death-producing things in our lives. But the alternative is to really be absorbed by those things that are death. And though we know Christ and we've been received into the loving hands of God, to be closed off to allowing that to be the fruit of our lives. Now, I don't know. John doesn't say specifically that this imagery is one of hell. But between you and me, I don't even want to be cast off from God in this life and still make it into heaven. Paul talks about those in 1 Corinthians who the works of their life will be burned up and there will be nothing left. They will make it into eternity, but barely. I don't want that. But here's the good news. Remaining is our part. But it is the desire of God to continue to prune our lives. God is about pruning away the dead and helping more life to grow. Pruning is not an incidental, once in a lifetime or a few times in your life kind of experience. It's an ongoing thing that God initiates. And all we have to do, as John says, is ask. If you ask, I will do it. So tonight, I invite you to ask. Come to this rail, the communion, declaring again your willingness to be open to the life-giving transformation that God wants to continue to do in your life and in my life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,